With a news update on 99.7 1450 WHTC, I'm Gary Stevens. An educational milestone and a departing community leader will be honored during Holland's annual signature event next month. Yesterday, Tulip Time Festival Executive Director Gwen Huerta announced that Wakazoo Elementary School will be the Grand Marshal for the May 9th Gentex Kinder Parade, and Jack Husing, stepping down in June after a decade as the Executive Director for the Holland Aquatic Center, will serve in the Grand Marshal's role for the Quality Car Wash Volks Parade on May 11th. Principal Audra Bullheis will represent Wakazoo Elementary in the parade, as the school began as a one-room District Number 2 of Park Township Building in 1874, while Heising oversaw the $30 million renovation of the Holland Community Aquatic Center during his tenure. The 95th Tulip Time Festival begins its nine-week run a week from Saturday, May 4th. It will not have the drama that has normally been associated with Ottawa County Board meetings the past 16 months, but the Allegan County Board does have some items to take care of today. During the 7 p.m. session at the County Services Building off of Dumont Lake, the five-man governing panel will interview three individuals before voting on filling the Road Commission vacancy, created with the February death of John Kleinexel, to serve the remainder of his term through the end of 2026. Board Chairman Jim Story.
Outstanding Road Commission chair, also outstanding person, and a very successful farmer. The Board of Commissioners and Allegan County General Government has no say over the building or operation or maintenance of any of the roads. However, we do work very closely with the commission, as you'd expect, because it's a very important part of our infrastructure, and that is what makes our county so attractive, frankly. They've done a great job. I would hold our roads up to any in the state as far as the quality of condition, and that speaks to people like John Kleinexel, who provided that leadership and direction.
Last week, the Road Commission recommended to the full board that a primary road millage renewal proposal be placed on the August 6th primary election ballot. It would set a one-year levy over a six-year period through 2029 for resurfacing, preserving, and related preparation of roads under county jurisdiction. If the measure does go before voters and they approve, around $6.1 million would be raised in the first year of its implementation. Among other items before county commissioners, they will vote on approving the equalization budget based on the annual report that showed an increase of more than 14% in overall value from 2023 to nearly $11 billion. An online link to the agenda and supporting documents for the Allegan County Board meeting is in this story at WHTC.com. As the deadline passed on Tuesday afternoon statewide for candidates to be put on the ballot for the August 6th primary election, there appears to be a huge swell of interest for people who want to become an Ottawa County Commissioner. County Clerk Justin Roebuck says they have not had this many people running for the panel in at least the past quarter of a century, as 33 candidates have submitted signed ballot petitions or paid a $100 filing fee. Roebuck adds that it's the first time in his 10 years as clerk that Democrats have filed a candidate in every Ottawa County Commission race, and a lot of those hopefuls are running for the first time for public office. Mark Linder of Paw Paw is preparing for a truly epic bicycle ride starting next month along the Great Divide Mountain Bike Route, a 3,000-mile journey from Banff, Alberta to Antelope Wells, New Mexico, with over 200,000 feet of elevation change. Linder is doing it in honor of his late son, Kevin, who died at the age of 5 from neuroblastoma cancer in 2013.
There were days where we would go into the clinic in Kalamazoo, he would receive treatment, and then he would have a T-ball game that night, you know, and he would play like nothing was happening.
Mark is raising $50,000 for three organizations to help youngsters fight cancer: DC Strong, that's out of Plainwell, Cure Search, and the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I started looking at bicycle magazines and online and things like that, and found this Continental Divide route. And I thought, well, that sounds amazing. And I love a good adventure. I love a good challenge.
Meanwhile, Al Rezel, who left the Florida Keys on March 23rd, kicking off his seventh cross-country journey and solo bicycle ride in support of his wife, Terry, a breast cancer survivor, is expected to cross the Indiana state line by the end of the week and entered to West Michigan, perhaps skirting the Lakeshore area. The Pink Petals for a Cure, Terry's Ride, will go through 12 states and two countries, traversing 4,100 miles over 49 days before arriving in Albany, Minnesota on Mother's Day, May 12th. Governor Whitmer will sign a couple of bills into law on Saturday in Detroit. The legislation will require schools to have more comprehensive cardiac emergency response plans starting in the fall of 2025. Those would include athletic facilities and all school events, with coaches required to have training in dealing with cardiac issues. It's part of an ongoing effort to increase awareness and address treatment of those who may be stricken suddenly with heart issues, such as Fenville High junior Wes Leonard, who died following a basketball game in March of 2011 at the age of 16. His family started the Wes Leonard Heart Team to equip schools and other institutions with AEDs.
We know they work. We know if we train people, and we've changed a lot of laws, and the awareness is amazing.
House Bills 5527 and 5528 were sponsored by Democrats John Fitzgerald of Wyoming and Tyrone Carter of Detroit, respectively, and cleared the Senate a couple of days ago. Currently, research suggests around 90% of public schools in Michigan have at least one AED. That's according to the State House Fiscal Agency. U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will be in the Detroit area tomorrow. Vilsack, U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, and Second Gentleman Douglas Emhoff will take part in a roundtable discussion at a middle school to talk about efforts to ensure that students have access to healthy meals. Vilsack will also visit Williamston, that's in the Lansing area, during the afternoon with Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, who is looking to replace Stabenow as the senator from the state of Michigan in the November election, as Stabenow is stepping down. We'll have more agriculture news with Farm Director Rusty Halverson later this hour on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. Former President Donald Trump will be campaigning in Freeland between Saginaw and Midland next week. Mr. Trump will speak at A Flight Saginaw, 6 p.m. May 1st. Orders will open at 2 p.m. And the campaign says the 45th president will deliver remarks to contrast his first term with that of the current 46th president, Joe Biden. The trip is set for an off day in the Trump hush money trial in New York City. It'll be the third election stop in Michigan this year for Donald Trump. A 61-year-old Lansing native with a name as the Michigan State University basketball coach is running for a seat in the state house. Tom Izzo has lived in Lansing his entire life, has been dealing with having the same name as the coach, Tom Izzo, since 1983, when Izzo started getting calls and videotapes from basketball players looking to get the attention of then-Spartan coach Judd Heathcote, for whom Izzo was an assistant. Now, Izzo and Izzo have met and traced their roots back to Italy, where their ancestors lived a few villages apart from each other. It's not immediately known if Tom Izzo would support Tom Izzo in the August 6th primary election. A new study finds that in most states in the U.S., a single person needs to earn over six figures to live comfortably. Using the MIT Living Wage Calculator, a smart assets analysis reveals the national median for living comfortably alone is over $89,000. Comfortable is defined as the monthly income needed to cover a 50-30-20 budget, 50% of earnings for necessities such as housing and utility costs, 30% for discretionary spending, and 20% for savings or investments. Investment advisors Brent Kerwicker and Kerry Cooley of the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group in Zealand say that this smart assets analysis is pretty spot on.
For younger people coming into the workforce and wanting to buy a house at today's prices, I think that's probably pretty darn close, 90 to 100 grand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Housing costs, you're probably looking at $2,000, $2,500 a month. Throw property taxes on there. Throw all the maintenance that goes with that. That's a big portion of your budget. And then just food cost.
Well, I can attest to that. My son, who just bought a house, his monthly payment with escrow and taxes and everything is right around $2,100 a month.
Yeah, so there's your 20. There's 25 grand right there.
Yep. And now here's the interesting thing. However, when he was living in Indianapolis area, he's paying $2,800 a month for rent. So his house payment is lower. He's building equity, but still, it's a big part of his income.
Yeah, absolutely. So that study's probably not too far off. But for those that maybe are in their 60s, that have maybe their house paid off and such, maybe don't need quite as much money. But I certainly think for a younger person, that's probably not too far off in today's world. Throw some kids in there and your money's gone.
The most expensive states for a single person, Massachusetts, Hawaii, California, New York, and Washington. We're going to need to make well over $100,000 to live comfortably. Least expensive states for singles, West Virginia, Arkansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, and Kentucky. Michigan, well, below the average, 35th overall at $84,365 annually. Curtis Meade's two-run homer snapped a 5-5 tie and capped a three-run Tampa Bay sixth inning as the Rays rallied past the visiting Tigers last night 7-5.
Eighth pitch of the at-bat on the way, swinging a fly ball, left field, deep trouble, and that ball is gone. Two-out, two-run home run for Curtis Meade.
Idle this evening, Detroit opens a three-game series with the visiting Kansas City Royals at Comerica Park tomorrow afternoon, with broadcast time at 12:45 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC. Dansby Swanson's three-run homer capped a four-run Chicago first inning, and the Cubs held on for a 4-3 triumph over the visiting Houston Astros last night.
On a day like today, you know, runs are going to be hard to come by, so however we can get them, we'll take them. But it just, you know, goes to show and give a lot of credit to just our pitchers and our defense.
The series at Wrigley Field in Chicago concludes this afternoon. Willie Castro's three-run homer capped a four-run Minnesota second inning as the Twins defeated the visiting Chicago White Sox last night 6-3. The series at Target Field in Minneapolis concludes this afternoon. Justin Boyd's two-run double in the sixth inning broke a 2-2 tie and enabled the visiting Lake County Captains to prevail over the West Michigan Whitecaps yesterday 4-2. The series at LMCU Ballpark in Comstock Park continues this evening. As the NFL draft begins at Ford Field in Detroit this evening, Zeeland High and U of M product Jay Reimersma, the current executive director of Holland's Gateway Mission, has this story to tell about his selection in the 1996 draft by the Buffalo Bills.
The fourth round went, the fifth round came and went, the sixth round came and went, and finally I was thinking, I was getting a little nervous, had a few conversations with my agent at the time, and I looked over at Kara, no lie, and I said, you know what, I don't know where we're going to go, but you know, if you had a choice, hon, where would you want to go? And being from West Michigan, growing up in the winter here and that kind of stuff, she said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we went someplace south? What do you think? Like maybe Miami or something like that? And so the Lord has a sense of humor, right? And about 10 minutes later, then head coach Marv Levy called me and said that, hey, we are going to be selecting you with our pick. I think the pick was pick number 244. It was literally three picks away from being Mr. Irrelevant.
The Chicago Bears holding the first overall selection and the host Lions picking 29th in the opening round. Get the latest news anytime at WHTC.com.